cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, it's that. That was really loud.
Time
of the week. It's that time of the week, and welcome to it. It's the weekly mashup with myself, Dimitri Masha, and the
very rock and roll.
The very hard, the metal today, metal chick.
Yeah. Candy, but Rihanna wore this. Mama. So it's not too bad.
Rihanna,
it's not like too intimidating.
I'm totally intimidated. I don't know what to say to you right now.
You know what? It's also because of the black lipstick.
Yeah.
And the spiky hair and stuff.
I know, it's December, and like the look you got going today is like how do I say? Black men look at it and they're like, it's like insecticide for black men. That's all I can say. It's like a don't go there. It's like,
you know what it is.
Yeah?
But you know what it is? I think I'm taking myself off the market for black men at the moment.
Oh, okay.
You know, and yeah. I don't want black men to like tweet me and try to get like,
what is working?
Like, you bitch.
If I could say I represent black men today, I would say that it's definitely working.
Yeah.
If I didn't know you and I thought, oh, nice, pretty chick. Let me, I'm single, she's single, I think.
Then yeah.
I wouldn't. And I wouldn't. I just walk right past you.
Like, this would be the look I pitch up. Like, you know, you'd ask me out like last week.
Yeah.
Me looking like last week.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then I'd pitch up on the date looking like this.
Actually, having said that though, if you pitched up on the date looking like that after like I've asked you out on a date,
yeah.
I'd actually feel pretty good then, because now like
what,
like she's with me, so other black men like automatically look the other way, so I'm like, definitely this is gonna work out. No one else wants it today.
Sorry.
Except that white
that
guy and
terrible.
His friends, you know.
Terrible.
Yeah, I've got a problem there. I mean, she's wearing an Iron Maiden top, guys.
I am.
I wish you could see it. In fact, we must post. I'm going to take a picture.
Yeah.
And I'm going to post
it. No, but I'll stand. I'll stand for the picture.
Will you stand? Stand,
yeah.
quickly.
No, let's, because
come on. Guys, this is Candy today.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah. Oh, can you take that off there? Take the damn picture.
All right, took the picture.
He will tweet it.
I will tweet it. It's a little bit out of focus. I don't know how that happened, but anyway.
Because he was leaning back. Like, he took so much time to take a foggy picture.
I know. I think even my camera's like, no, we can't have this in the iPhone. it's not hip-hop.
But
it's dope, though. I think it's a really cool look.
You'll post the picture and you guys will see.
Really,
it's not that bad.
It's dope. It's a cool look. I think it's like, I would never have thought of it.
Okay?
I never would have woken up in the morning and thought, hey, you know, I think I should wear this. Yeah. But that's just me.
Thank goodness. I think thank goodness for both of us.
Yeah, for both of us, right? For everyone.
I don't think we'd have a show.
The whole world. Thank you, Candy, for those kind words, by the way, for what you just said. You make me feel so good about myself. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh. It's December.
Good December, boss. Did you hear the song I started out?
Yes, with. I did.
Because that's very important.
Explain
us.
It a little bit for our listeners. I was going to say viewers.
For the listeners who don't hear Sepedi,
yeah.
Awodzi. Okay, so the song is called Ska Bora Moreki.
Okay.
Basically, what that means is the person who's buying the drinks, okay, don't bore that guy. Whatever he wants, if he wants to talk about his car, like he just got himself a brand new Mercedes Benz, and that's all he wants to talk about.
Yeah.
Laugh, enjoy, pretend you're having a great time.
Okay.
If he wants to talk about how sad his life is and that no one is prepared to go out with him or be seen in public with him, you sympathize.
Okay.
If he wants to talk to the chick in the Iron Maiden t-shirt, you make that happen. Whatever you do, don't bore the buyer. Okay? And that's a very apt December song, because it's December, boss.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, people might be short. They might have spent the bonus on, like, really frivolous things like the bond, keeping up with the car payments,
school
fees, insurance. And then they don't have enough for, you know, the beers on the weekend. So the person who is paying for the beers is a very important person.
Well, that is true. Mm. The person who keeps the party going is the important person.
Very important person.
Oh my gosh, but can you believe 2016 has come and it has gone? What
a
year.
I'm so happy that 2016 is almost over. It's been a tough year, man.
Yeah, for you especially.
The whole
year. For me, it's been a good
year.
The
whole year. Like, let me tell you what happened. It's the beginning of the year, Penny Sparrow makes a stupid comment. We all jump on her. Gareth decides, yes, he's going to say, but you know, everyone has got a right to just say whatever, even though we might not like it. That's where he was going with that. Like, yeah, we don't like it. It's definitely wrong. But isn't that what we signed up for in the Constitution by having freedom of speech? Yeah. In fact, he was raising that debate. Gareth Cliff is a racist, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
What do I do? Like any good friend. You know, I know Gareth. He's a good guy. He's a good oak. He's a good oak.
Oh,
he's not a racist. He might have things that he says that are offensive.
Yeah.
But he's definitely not a racist, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody, what do they do? I get killed on Black Twitter. And I'm like, you know, maybe I should reconsider, like, defending these white people in general. And then my pastor gets in the fray as well. He says something that people find offensive.
I'm like, then guess who jumps in?
You know what? Guys,
Team Mash to the rescue.
Yeah, you know. And I'm like, actually, you know what, guys? I understand he said something offensive. It was not cool. But he's not a racist. Boom. I mean, this time I even had the people from the EFF calling, you know.
OMG.
The People's Bay. And he threatened me, you know. And in hindsight, I remember being in the studio and I wasn't sure which member of the EFF the People's Bay was, because I was a little bit intimidated because they were like, they're going to come through and stuff. But if I'd known it was a short guy, I would have like invited him. I would have said, no, please, by all means, I would love to have you there. Come through and talk to me first, you know. Yeah, and then there was my own personal, you know, scandal. That went all over. Yeah.
Hey, you were in the newspaper, you were on Twitter.
I've been beaten up by the media. I've had a media beatdown.
When did they actually give you a break this year?
You know, let's not forget I was hijacked. Like, everyone forgets that. Like, my life was literally
so many
threatened.
Bad things.
Like, forget
that have
about
been happening to you.
The character assassination. The real life, I could have died. I was kidnapped and held for 5 hours.
You were.
Yeah.
But I feel like this sounds terrible, but your kidnapping was probably the least bad thing that has happened.
Actually,
to you.
It was the least bad thing. At least they were nice about it. They were like, hey, you know, you look kind of scared. Have a Savannah. Would you like a smoke? Don't worry. It will turn around. You'll be okay. You're a great actor.
Well, at least you know they weren't the people assassinating you on Black Twitter.
No. They were just like...
Because if they had been, I feel like it would have gone down differently.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be here right now with y'all.
And guess what? We're going to end the year on a bang, because you're going to be singing for us at the Christmas carols.
I hope that goes well.
I hope so too. Because I've told you I cannot sing.
Are we not singing together?
No, we are doing a duet.
Are you my
shoe-up
girl?
I'm more of the shoe-up girl, yes.
Oh, okay.
I will not be wearing my Iron Maiden t-shirt.
You better not.
I will be needing to charm everyone.
Actually, you know what? Maybe that might work, because if they don't like the singing, at least they can just look at you. So how was your year? How was 2016 for you?
2016 was actually a good year for me. It was a very good year. I mean, I started working here with you, which didn't come with...
it certainly came with its own set of controversies, didn't it? Tell us about that.
Well, you went through...
I lost a long-term friend because of you.
No,
work out.
No. This was not because of me. I didn't even know what was happening. I'd already signed up by the time I found this out.
I was like,
out.
You know, Candace is I'm
and it was a mutual friend. He was a mutual friend.
Yeah,
and that went
like
south.
I'm going to miss the free drinks. Anyway, yeah.
But other than that, I mean, I had
and
a good
else?
Year.
So what was so good about it? Did the fees fall for you? Because I know you're a student.
No, they didn't fall.
Sorry,
my relationships weren't successful.
Okay. On the blitzer front, it wasn't so good. They came and went.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. Yeah, but at least I realized I had a type. So, I mean, that's a good
thing.
Yeah,
we all realized you had a type.
Yeah, because if you lined up all my exes... They'd be variations of the same.
Yeah, variations of the same guy.
Oh, it's so sad.
Yeah.
Until you said it last week, this did not come to mind.
Do you see it now, though? Do you see it now when you look at all of them? You're
yes.
Like,
I feel like they got nerdier. I started with a tough ass, and then it just got nerdier from there. Like, you know?
So do you think that the nerdy guys, like with this look, they'd be able to handle that? Or is that your way of saying goodbye?
No, this is like the insect repellent for,
for
my
type. I just don't see your type going for that type.
I told you, I'm dating white guys now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dating, what else am I open to? Colored guys, maybe.
Okay.
I'm open to everyone except my people. And my people can, like, if
Indian
they love
people?
Somewhat.
Okay. All right.
Somewhat.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You're thinking about that.
DJ Zintle is dating an Indian guy and he's cute.
Okay.
Indian colored, I can do. Indian colored. because I'm like, you know, the parents won't like me.
Look, you got to give your kids a chance to have that good hair.
Good hair,
know?
Good hair.
Yeah.
And if they've if black guys from
abroad,
you can't
regress. You got that good hair. Now imagine, now suddenly your children don't.
I don't give my kids good hair.
You know, yeah. You married a petty guy. It just won't work.
But you know what's the worst? I'm actually really attracted to black men. That's the worst part, right?
That's sad,
like,
eh?
It's so sad.
It's like you just can't have what you want.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like me and Kosa women.
Yeah, well, two down, hey?
Same Goonies. Let's put them all together. Zulus and Kosas. They're just, I don't know. Anyway,
so
I'm just glad it's over, this 2016, because I'm looking forward to something new in 2017.
So what are you going to do December?
I'm going to take a very long holiday. I'm going to like switch my phone off for a while.
No Twitter.
No one's going to find me on social media at all.
Okay.
I'm going to get out of Joburg, which I haven't done in a while. And I'm not going to go anywhere glamorous, you know. I'm just going to go somewhere quiet.
Glamorous as in what?
Like Deben or Cape Town. That's where everyone goes, right? It's become very glamorous now. You can have a glam holiday.
Well, Zimbabwe.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's, you know? Or Belito or whatever like guys are doing now. So I'm not doing that. I'm just going somewhere like very unglamorous.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like you're going to the farm, like, you know, you're going back home, like
literally
Limpopo, you know, or like Northwest Province.
I'm going to
the bug life, boiling kettle, home. Like ish. Bathing in a bucket.
Yeah. Why do you make it sound so bad? It's just
for 2 weeks.
It's like that, but it's like the rural life, you know?
It's tough. Are you sure you can handle it though?
I'm not sure.
I don't think
I'm not sure.
I'm not saying, I'm not doubting
your hands are not
abilities.
Made for like working with your hands. They're made for typing and playing piano.
Yeah, because you look kind of spoiled.
And touchy.
Like, you know the thing? Like, I feel like, you know, if we had to do Survivor, right? And they said, like, choose, like, someone who you think will really...
Yeah.
I don't know if we could choose each other. Like, we'd need to really choose, like, some tough-ass people.
Okay.
Like, you know, hard laborers. People who can...
Look,
lift
I'm not a laborer, but I'm a good delegator. I'd know what we should do. I'd say, go do that.
And who would you be telling to do that? Because if we had to get partnered up...
I'd tell you...
I wouldn't do it.
We'd lose. We would die of starvation. Because no one's willing to go and kill that
Well, first, yeah, like, I'm very scared of lobster. Living lobster. And I'm scared of fish.
That I'm not scared of.
Like,
I'm not
living
of...
stuff. I don't like living stuff.
Oh,
I like,
okay.
When it's dead, it's fine. But I can't,
okay,
I can't
I'll go
catch
get it. I'll go get it. I'll go catch it. You can cook it?
You know I can't cook.
Anyway, so I'm gonna have to catch it and cook it. Oh. Modern women. Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
We have a modern woman in the studio today as one of our guests.
Yeah.
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 I want to introduce her. I'm speechless. She's
beautiful.
She's very beautiful.
Yeah, you know what?
Not just beautiful, like very. I'd put a very, like an adjective in front of
very.
Beautiful.
But I don't feel like very is suitable. Like, I feel like incredibly.
Incredibly.
Or
remarkably.
Or strikingly.
Yeah, or strikingly, you know? Or stunningly.
Yeah.
There's quite a number of adjectives, but the big ones, you know? Awesomely, is that, would that work? You can't say awesomely.
Awesomely.
Okay.
Ew.
Let's not go there.
Ish. English.
But incredibly. Like, you cannot, I just can't believe. I never expected it.
LCB, hi.
Hello.
Hey, LCB, how you doing?
I'm really good.
Well, that was probably the longest introduction you've ever had.
Well, it's been the most original introduction I've ever had, so that's a cool.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
We strive for original on this show.
We do try our best, you know. Oh, and by the
keeping
way,
it real.
Tuso R has already responded to your picture. She said,
I made
it seem rather goth, but it's actually pretty cool. Well, it is goth. Like, Iron Maiden, dude. Like, come on.
Tuso, you're amazing, though. You're going to be in studio next week. I can't wait to meet you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is quite goth, though. Anyway, Elsie, how are you doing, man? Are you good?
I'm good. Well, I saw her walking down. I was parking in the parking lot, and I was like, stopped my car, and I looked at her from the back, and I was like, that's really interesting. I'm not sure. Does she have a pants on underneath that top? And
that's
I'm like,
the question I asked myself.
I was like, really? Okay. So I was like, I wonder if she's going where I'm going, like trying to figure out what the face of this person's going to look like. And then she turned around, and she was like, incredibly gorgeous.
Oh, stop.
So I was like,
thank
oh my
you.
Gosh.
Not too bad.
Yeah, that's right.
And I had to, like, you know, it's the worst. We've got like a ramp, like, you know, that ramp driving down.
Yeah.
So I had to park at the top. So I had to like teeter down, like
you gingered down the ramp. Yeah. Like you cannot fall.
I had to like jog. I had to like take a
t-shirt dress. If you like fall over, it's over. It's like, oh, okay.
I got a compliment from the security guard downstairs. He was like, ah, you cute, nah. Anyway,
that's quite the look you're going for.
Yeah, Alsabi.
So Alsabi, yes. Tell us briefly, like, some of the things that you do. I know, we know what you do, but like, if you had to describe it to somebody who's listening right now, what would you say to that person?
Okay, well, I'm the director of Just You Model and Artist Management. I used to be an actress myself until 2008, realizing that being a struggling artist is not something I wanted to do my whole life.
Fun.
And if you really don't have an agent that takes care of you and fights for your rates and your usages and your renewals and your rights, it's going to be a very difficult career for me. So in 2008, I decided to open Just You Model and Artist Management. We have been an agency that takes care of booking models, actors, singers and dancers, mm-hmm. either locally or internationally. I've got 42 students. That are 42 students that are studying at the New York Film Academy. So basically they are in New York and in Los Angeles. And international education was something that came part of Just You Model and Artist Management in 2010.
Wow.
So since 2010, we've been bringing the New York Film Academy to South Africa and securing partial scholarships for South African artists for the past 6 years.
Wow.
What I'd like to know, though, I've seen the ads. Someone sent me something about how this whole day works. You have a day.
Yeah.
Right? Basically where people audition, or I wouldn't even say audition. It's almost like the X Factor meets... South Africa's Got Talent, and people kind of show you what they got, right?
Yes. So the New York Film Academy Director of Admissions, as well as the Director of Scouting, comes to South Africa and basically then looks for potential talent and evaluates them based on their audition. So we do auditions in Johannesburg and in Cape Town and then evaluate the potential artists that will really be suitable to be students studying internationally. And then from an agency point of view, we also recruit talent that we can then present to our local and international casting directors and clients.
But like when you're auditioning people, is there, do you look for that particular X factor in someone?
Well, to be honest, I really enjoy working with artists, actors, singers, models, dancers in all different principles that has got a great understanding and respect for hard work because nothing in this industry comes easy. And I've learned that with many years of experience. And I meet a lot of potential talent that come in that's got a wrong understanding. They they think they're going to come in and fame and money is going to be thrown at you. Like, you know, Charlize Theron might have gotten scouted that way, you know, and everything happened really quick. But for the rest of us, we really have to work hard. So I look for that characteristic in an individual, as well as the preparation that they put in. Because if you come in like ill-prepared, a lack of preparation, if you're not going to respect what is given to you in your own country, what are you going to do with international opportunities when it's presented to you on an international platform?
Do you really believe that story, though, that Charlene was discovered in a bank?
I don't. To be dead honest with you,
I've never heard of that. Like, why?
I don't think, for me personally, I don't think that really happened. But in South Africa, it does. I scouted a guy, he was a waiter at Zoo Lake. Moyos, and I said to him, he's got a great look. He came to the agency, and within a week, he booked his first TV commercial.
Wow.
He used the money to go and study business management, and he's now the manager. You know, so that was just an ordinary waiter that got scouted, and I just liked the way he looked and his articulation and the way that he spoke, and I said, we'd like to represent you as a character, and he booked his first job. So, you know, those stories do happen, but I'm not so sure if it happens the way it happened for her.
And how do you feel about, like, a lot of people in South Africa and around the world, I suppose? I mean, you go to LA and there's all types of people, cab drivers.
I'm going to LA
lawyers.
In 5 days' time.
Oh, yeah?
Hollywood.
Are you going to... see if they you're going to get picked off the street, or you have
hang out at all the place.
Well, I'm first going to Beverly Hills in Vegas for 5 days holiday, and then
so
we
you
doing
got it like that. You
and then we're going to an arts convention where managers, producers, casting directors from America, Europe, and Asia comes together.
Wow.
And then talents, as in models, actors, singers, and dancers, will be performing in front of these industry professionals. We'll be doing 40 hours of seminars and workshops and getting to introduce South African talent to these international industry professionals.
Hmm. Awesome. But what I was going to ask as well is, how effective is... because some people have a dream that someone will pluck them out of the
oh,
street.
Yes.
How effective is that compared to just going to get some sort of qualification, whether it be a drama degree or a diploma or a certificate, and then coming to you and saying, hi, Elsabi, here is my CV at least, and I'd like to audition for you in an office, almost a one-on-one sort of thing.
Yes.
So you know that the vetting process has been done through that.
You know, they're going to have to do a lot of walking because I'm not sure agents, you know, in today's life gets a lot of time to be outside. There's so much work in our country, international work, especially coming in. I always like it when a potential artist, you know, with talent comes to me and they've got an understanding. So I've got actors on book that has got a degree that sleeps until 11 o'clock in the morning and, you know, maybe just wants to go and do one audition a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got someone who might not have, you know, the finances to study for 2 or 3 years, full time.
Yeah.
But they've got the passion and the driving, you know, like energy to drive their own careers. So education is very important. Like the education and those skills will always help you. But I think it's the hunger, that burning desire inside your heart, like that helps you the most.
I was going to say as well, what you just said is so important. But do you find that sometimes the people who are qualified, like I came out of drama school and had to really sometimes unlearn a lot of the stuff. But it was important just for my confidence to know that I got this. Do you find that you have those qualified actors who you now have to say, listen, for TV, that theatrical stuff doesn't really work?
It happens a lot of times. I've seen with the New York Film Academy auditions when we in Johannesburg especially, a lot of the students that come, they just want to go and do a short-term program. Most of them are theatrically trained, but they want to do acting for film. So the acting for film auditions are very different than your musical theatre auditions. So they have to make everything less, like take it down 100 times.
Yeah,
so you kind of have them like, no, like let's try that again. So they have to get redirected, you know. So sometimes I think there can be bad habits that you learn and acquire, but you can get that whether you've got an education or not. Like we've got soapy actors that come in and they've been on a soapy for 10 years. And then you say to them, okay, well, you want to do musical theatre. So now you're going to have to get off your mark and like do a little bit more of a performance. And they struggle. So it's really just basically taking direction and improvising that is very important for the actors to listen. You got to listen and know how to take direction when given.
Okay. But don't you think that everyone feels sometimes that they can act? Like, don't you get people who just come in and like, I feel like I could act. Look at me, dramatic
well,
and yeah, I'm kidding.
I mean, I've already cast you in a movie and I've never seen you act.
You know what's worse is when they arrive.
Yes.
I'm an actor.
Oh.
Yeah, they arrive as actors. They sit like actors.
Oh.
They've got this idea like of what an actor. Like, so when
you
you're
mean?
Like, hey, my name's Elsabi, and they're like, hi, I'm here for the acting audition.
Nice.
And then I'm like, okay, wait, like, hold the accent. We'll put you on camera, like, in a few minutes.
Okay.
But it's amazing they would arrive as an actor,
oh
you know.
My gosh.
So I always advise them before the time, you know, just to, there is something like a bad actor. If I can see you acting, it's bad.
Yes.
Like, you need to be able to associate and, connect with a character and become, you know, you have to keep your own original ideas. But most like talented artists that we see in terms of auditions at least are versatile.
Okay.
So they can act and dance and, you know, do commercial modeling, or they can model and they can act, you know. So they don't just come in being able to like be one thing. Like we've got models, 3 of our models actually walked the runways of New York Fashion Week in September. But all 3 of them are actually actors. They're qualified actors, but they started off as models. So I said, it'll be easier for me to break you into the industry internationally as a model. And you can then study your acting for film, like in a later on stage. Mm. But for now, if you want to get that O-1 American visa to be a working artist, yes, we can break you in as a model.
Wow.
So the versatility they need to bring to the table is what's really important.
Okay.
But you're quite invested in your artists, because I mean, I don't know how many modeling agencies I've signed with, you know, over the years.
And they were just taking your money.
No. They don't even necessarily take your money, right? But they're just so complacent.
Yeah.
So they send you to what is called cattle call castings, where they know you don't fit the look, but you sit there your whole day and then like, you're like,
next,
no one here looks like me. Yeah. why are there only white people in this line?
Next. That's why you keep your
I haven't received an Iron Maiden casting for a model of your type this year.
Not yet.
No. I wouldn't have sent you to, no, joking.
She's her own type.
But can I tell you,
own genre.
When I registered Just You Model and Artist Management, the word Just You for me was the most important thing, because I never used to meet the agents, like the directors I work for. So I sign with an agency and the person who owns the company, I never get to meet. So I'm working, making money for someone who doesn't even have the audacity to take the time to meet me as a person. So as an agent, I'm hands on. I love people and I want to know who I represent, because if I'm going to send you to a casting, I need to know that it is suitable for your type. I don't want you to go sit there and call me and say, Elsie B, all the girls here have got blonde hair. I kind of don't look like anyone, because it's my reputation too. And in the this industry, it's too small for us to, you know, have people that we get them out of their like daily routines to send them to castings, and then it's not a fit. And I hear it so many times where these models come and they go to like go sees or castings and they don't match the brief. So a lot of that is happening, and like our ultimate goal is to get to know our people, the people we represent, so that we can represent them like to the best of their ability. Like I get to know the artists, especially the actors, really well, because I need to know what roles will automatically fit. You know, so based on your environment, based on where you come from, like there's just, I never booked the mom role. I don't know why. Like when I'm like, I've got three children. Like,
because you don't look like a mommy.
When I walk in, they're like, do you have children? And I'm like, are you for real? Like, I know in that point in time already what is indirectly said to me. And last year I booked my first mom role with my baby. She was 3 weeks old and she had to be on set with the whole family and we were shooting. But there's specific roles that each talent automatically books based on your brand, the way you look when you arrive. Like you can book the job just by looking the way you do. So that actually helps, is when someone can come in and you can look at the brand and say, these are the kind of like stereotype roles that you can audition for. And then obviously get to know the character, to know where the strengths of the performer lies.
I've just made sure that people understand that what we're talking about right now. And if you want to, you know, be part of the action, you've always wanted to act. I get a lot of people on social media asking me, where can I find an agent? Well, we've got an agent in the studio. What questions would you like to ask Elsie B? Tweet us and we'll ask ourselves. But here's the other thing, right, that I wanted to ask you. How many people do you actually have in your agency? Because there's some agents who have so many people.
Such a big book that they can't actually keep up.
You feel like, will I ever be seen?
Yes.
You know, we've got two books. We've got an exclusive and a non-exclusive database. So in the exclusive database, it's your actors with degrees or experienced working artists. And then the non-exclusive is basically for those who's got a great look, but they don't have experience, or like there's castings that'll come in and they'll say Pan-African, like 50 to 80 year old.
Which I never understand. What does that, what does that mean? How does someone look Pan-African? Who in this room looks at Pan-African?
Nobody has Pan-African.
I've never gotten a Pan-African part.
No, you're too light for Pan-African.
And I'm hardly like yellow ball at all, you know?
No, so like we've got two different databases, and I think that's where most agencies, you know, they work on one entire board.
So dark chocolates, you are Pan-African.
Yes, and all the maidens, you cappuccinos.
You know? Where do cappuccinos fit in? Because I find that like we cappuccinos, like,
but cappuccinos very varied.
You know,
because it's like
funny,
how much milk you're putting into that cappuccino, I guess. Yeah, like,
She's like 50% milk and 50% coffee, or like 70%.
That's a yellow bone.
But you know what was so interesting is when I was in the States in 2010, and one of my clients in America said, so I was speaking about, you know, cappuccino and like trying to just find out what is it that they're really looking for. And she's like, what's cappuccino?
Yes, it's a South African term.
That's a South African term. Oh. In America, they call them ethnically ambiguous. Ah. That's fancy.
Ethnically ambiguous.
Okay, you're just black, but you could be any sort of black.
Yeah, you're like ethnically ambiguous. Like
we don't know where you're from, really. No. You're just like, you could be from anywhere.
No, but you know what I get? Like my orthodontist, when I went for the treatment, so she's treating my teeth, and obviously your mouth is wide open. And I don't know, maybe she had like a background in casting or something. She's like, I can't stand black South Africans. And I'm like, biatch. You know, because I can't say anything.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
she's holding a really sharp tooth.
Yeah.
So then she's like, you're so lucky you're not from here. And I'm like, is that what my file says? She's like, what are you? Man. Are you like Ethiopian?
Yeah.
Cappuccino?
We can send you out to get secrets about
Ethiopian and cappuccino?
Us, right? What
do
people say?
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, and that was the first time I heard the cappuccino thing. I was like, oh. And I associated it with Ethiopians. And then my casting agent once said, no, you'd be more cappuccino. And I was like, what is that?
Now you know.
Now I know.
It's a whole race, actually.
Ethnically ambiguous.
Yeah.
You could be anything.
Anything you like.
On the brown color spectrum.
You could be.
On a good day, I could be Indian too.
Yeah, well, there's some days.
Apparently so.
There's some days. If you cut your hair different.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Oh my God.
But here's
the
thing, right? What does it take? I mean, a lot of people want to model, and I've seen a whole range.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The funny thing is, it's not necessarily that you're tall and skinny. There's like people who are not, and they're great models as well. I know an American woman, and she's a plus size model, and she's done so well. So what are you looking for when you say models?
So there's different types of models, like you said, plus size modeling. But most models in South Africa don't understand that there's a height requirement. So you can't just be short and
skinny. Oh, you can't be short and chubby.
On the plus
size, those two things
you're
not going to make it.
If you want to be a plus size model, the plus goes with a height requirement of 5'8 for a female. So a minimum of 1.75. And that goes for female fashion as well. Female fashion is 5'8, 1.75 meters tall, as well as a 34 inch hip and a 24 inch waist. So you basically have to have those specific requirements.
So you have to be a Coca-Cola bottle. You can't just be chubby.
Well, you kind of have to be the neck of the Coca-Cola bottle.
Okay.
The rest of the Coca-Cola bottle is the plus size.
I was talking about the plus size.
The plus size.
If you're normal, then you're just the neck of the Coca-Cola. You're just like the skinny ones. Okay. Now, the outside of the plus size is now you're more Coca-Cola.
Yes. Bottle. Like the full the size.
But you can't just be like just fat.
But
you have
I find
to like
that,
be
yes.
a certain shape,
yeah.
right?
So,
but a healthy looking shape.
Yeah, in the States, they had quite a lot of like drama around promoting, you know, being overweight with the plus size industry being so big. So they actually said that you need to have like a minimum hip size of 40 inches. But then you have to have like the waist needs to be in line with the hip. So you can't just come and have like all your, you know, assets and goods all over the place. So it really has to be fit, like a fit size 40, you know, like a 40 inch hip. It's not just for you to come in and say, hey, I'm eating 20 McDonald's burgers a day, I want to be a plus size model. It's really for those like African ambiguous women with the big hips and the rounder figure, you know, not the Soviet jeans kind of girl.
The booty.
Yeah, like.
So I guess, you know what, guys, I tried to get you in there, I tried to get myself, I'm not in any of those categories.
But can I tell you what I think is something that people don't know in the industry is how much money there lies within being a commercial model. In terms of billboards, catalogs, you know, we get so many castings where they want good-looking people or a specific character, like red hair, chubby cheeks with freckles, you know. So there's a lot of castings that come out for commercial models. So you don't really need to have a specific height or any specific requirements.
There's another thing now, commercial model.
Commercial.
That's you. The picture's being taken or you're in an ad.
Absolutely. So
you can be anything.
You can
be anything. We're in there. We got a chance. People.
We even have a 74-year-old Opaiki, you know, grandpa on our books. And he's booked 4 jobs this year, you know, so.
Because I'm at that stage now where I'm just a dad. I feel like I'm a dad. guy.
Oh, so you're not going to be the GQ guy.
That no, I'm saying? Like, I got nothing to prove. Been there, done that. I'm done with it.
You're over it.
I'm over it. I don't need it anymore.
Wow.
I've got to be my age. I'm not going to be like Mariah Carey.
No,
fighting
but why can't you be like a hot, like, you know, like.
Like these Uncle Bay.
Hey, okay, no, well, you know, like. Mm-mm. Some of these guys, but you know, it's cute. Like, there's nothing better than an older man who's got his ish together.
Is
like,
what makes you think I don't have my ish together?
No, like,
she's being judgmental now.
Don't be that guy.
Judgmental.
Don't be that guy.
You're being that girl.
I'm just saying, it's really attractive when everything is going against someone and they look like Brad Pitt.
What does that mean? So, like, because Brad Pitt looks like he does, it's okay if everything's going against him. Like,
oh, no. I mean, like, gravity. I mean, you know, like, as you age. No. Yes, no. I'm not talking about life. I'm talking about gravity and,
like,
you know,
where did,
aging.
Where did being so handsome and whatever get Brad Pitt? You know what I mean?
He's in Hollywood. Like, he's very cute.
He's in Hollywood, but shame.
Angelina left him too.
Angelina left his ass too. So it can happen to you guys.
No, but being good looking is just like, you know, it's a nice to have.
It's a nice to have.
It's not a prerequisite.
It's not going to guarantee you anything in life.
Yeah.
Okay, so one question I wanted to ask is, how many people do you usually expect to see at one of your events?
So we've got auditions on the 28th of Jan. We just had auditions now on the 19th of November, and we had 38 artists audition.
Wow.
So what we do is we, once they get in touch with our agency, we kind of expect them just to send a little bit of a resume through, with a bit of experience or anything that they've done in terms of training or special skills. So we don't just have a cattle call, you know, where there's 150 people pitching up, where 50% are serious working actors and the others are just...
Then with that, what do you expect to see on the the CV that will get you through the door?
I think just basically having, and this is being very honest, someone who's got an understanding of what needs to be on a CV. Like, you don't send an agency a secretarial CV. You're not applying to be a secretary.
We don't care if you know how to use MS-DOS,
Word,
or Excel.
Yeah, I really don't care what subjects you had in matric, what your matric pass symbol was. Mm. You know, so if you don't really know what to put on your artist's CV or resume, like, that to me is a little bit of a problem. So I'll always advise them and say, hey, like, here's an example of a resume, like, put something together and send it to me. And then sometimes you just never hear from them because it's too much work. Or you get those who can send you a headshot and then not knowing what a headshot is, you know, taking a selfie in the car with your safety belt over your chest.
Ooh.
That's a definite no.
Yes.
Or taking a selfie in the bathroom with nothing on, but like your underwear is not going to work.
Maybe sometimes the light is
really good. Yeah?
You know?
No, it's just not going to work. I mean, you look great in that lingerie, but it's still not going to hire you. But you know what? For the people who are listening to us on Cliff Central right now on the weekly mashup, can we give them that?
Like, bite-sized chunks.
Can we give them exactly what it is? Yes. Like, what's a headshot?
Okay, so a headshot is a belly button up. Like, it's a shot of your face. So you kind of...
Hopefully you're not in... Like, we're not seeing your belly button.
Yeah, no,
like,
not belly
dressed.
Button. Yeah, so it's a close-up shot of your face. It's most of the time clients...
In clothes.
Yeah.
I need to repeat
that. Always a colorful T-shirt. Mm. No branding, so you don't put on any specific brands on your chest. So just a plain T-shirt, V-neck T-shirt. It elongates the neck, so it just kind of makes you look taller.
Or a nice sweater.
Yeah, a nice sweater will be good too, especially if you're a male. Females, I always just say, just make sure that you wear something that kind of sits on tight, body conscious, because you don't want anything adding weight on your picture submissions.
Okay.
So body conscious clothing, and then just, you know, submit your resume with, if you have no industry experience, at least type the first sentence in your email with a capital letter. Because I is a capital letter. So most of the emails, you know, you get typos, you get people that don't even have typos.
Let's at least get the email, like, no typos. Let's start there. Before we even get to the CV.
Yes, just get the email right. And also, I want to be, you know, I would like to become, I want to audition.
Okay, so professional. People should
be
professional.
The emails
grammar.
That come in that says, I want to be an actor. And then I'm like, what kind of experience do you have?
But
nothing, you know?
Just hook me up, man.
So just like, just have context, like fill up your email with information, you know.
Yes.
I'm not sure if we actually mentioned this yet before in our conversation, but 2017 is very exciting for us because it's the first time we're bringing Raven Drummer to South Africa.
Yes, and she
Who's Raven Drummer?
Okay, now this is going to be something that's very exciting. I've always wanted to bring Tyler Perry Studios to South Africa. And we've got our 7th annual International Arts Talent Showcase taking place next year, October. 7's my lucky number. And the arts director from America, Kim Myers, said to me, do you have anything special planned for next year? And I said, well, I would like to bring Tyler Perry Studios to South Africa.
Yeah.
But that's my personality. I always go beyond extreme and impossible.
That is beautiful.
And she said to me, well, let me send an email and let's see if we can hook you up. So the email went out to Raven Drummer, and she responded and said she'd love to come to South Africa. We need to send her a little bit more details. Now, Raven Drummer has been working on projects like The Family That Prays, Why Did I Get Married to The Marriage Counselor, and then the most recent television series she did was The Haves and the Have-Nots, and If Loving You Is Wrong, which is currently on the Oprah Winfrey Network.
Yeah.
So Raven, Raven is coming to South Africa as a casting director. So we're doing nationwide auditions for the International Arts Talent Showcase.
That's dope.
And then we're also going to be seeing actors, especially for Raven Drummer, because this just brings like a brand new like opportunity to South Africa. She's also, after like she graduated from UVA, she started the Paul Robertson Players, which is a theatre company focused on producing African-American stories and experiences. So it's really going to open up for Africa opportunities to get in touch with Tyler Perry Studios and Oprah Winfrey Network, auditioning in your own country.
Yeah. So you don't have to go to LA. We'll bring LA to you.
You don't have to go to LA or Atlanta. You're going to just be able to come to audition, and we're going to do the pre-screening auditions. And then on the 6th and 7th of October at Silver Star Casino, we run a two-day show. Kim Myers and Raven Drummer from America comes in, and then they pre-screen and select the talent they want to invite to work on their projects.
Wow.
All right. You know what? I mean, that sounds really exciting.
Yes.
But I have a feeling that a lot of people are going to think it's an easy shot in. And I would like to really give them an idea of what kind of audition you're looking for, and what they must do. What kind of stuff must they bring through?
What's going to make them stand out, I think?
So I always say international appropriate content. A lot of South African talent bring their own written material, which sometimes is not presented. Even with the New York Film Academy auditions, they don't understand the content, or they don't understand the pieces relating to cultural background or how you were raised and where you come from. So,
so something from an international film.
Yes.
That would be like a monologue?
A 60-second monologue from like an internationally known film. I think it's important to realize that both our clients come from America. So you'd want to select pieces. Just an example, if your monologue says something about Spar or Woolworths, you know, those are brands they're not familiar with. So just change your Spar to Walmart. You know, or if you're speaking about Celsius or Vodacom, they wouldn't be able to relate to our brand. So just make it universal and make sure that it's appropriate and understood by international clients.
And in terms of the monologue, though, how emotive must it be? Is it better to just do something that, that shows your range of emotion, or do something that, that is more film appropriate and kind of shows that, you know what, you can actually hold a scene without overacting or underacting or something like that?
That's an important point, because the ability to connect with your like your piece and your character is something that we don't see a lot. We see a lot of overacting, and sometimes people perform monologues that are too emotional, and after a day of auditioning, you want to walk away feeling that you've seen really good material, and you don't want to hold on to all those emotional pieces that actors bring. And sometimes they bring in the emotional pain because it's the easiest connection for them to show that they're really good actors. So two monologues, contrasting pieces, I always say lighthearted comedy and then something dramatic. So always have two monologues available. If you do your lighthearted comedy piece and we don't really relate to it, we'll ask you to perform another monologue. So don't come and audition as an actor without having something else in the back pocket.
Wow.
Yeah, and And how important is it? You know, a lot of people might think, oh, that sounds fantastic, but they have to be well prepared, right? So it's important to be off book, which is know the actual script and don't get stuck halfway and say, oh, I forgot my lines, or pull out the actual script and read it on stage.
Yeah, that doesn't exist. I always say, you know, in my emails communicating with the artist when they prepare for auditions, you have to, learning your lines is not an achievement. That's your job. So it's expected of you to know what your character needs to say. I need to be able to relate to the emotional connection, like, you know, articulation, how you speak, how you connect, and how you dressed the character. You know, like, are you going to come in all black? Are you going to, I mean, sometimes actors come up and they perform and they take their shoes off and they just ground themselves, you know. So just being able to be natural and be real and prepare for the lines, because that's secondary. I mean, like, being able to perform is more important than remembering your lines. And that's going to go back to being able to improv. Really good actors will be able to improvise, whether they hit a blank on the, like, on the spot. The show must go on. If you watch the opening production of Lion King in Broadway, New York City, and like, Simba forgets his lines. Simba can't run off, go get his like script and come back. It just doesn't exist. So you need to be able...
I don't think that allow him to not remember his lines.
No.
Like, at that Broadway level, that just doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen. Like, but even if it happens, you need to be able to improvise. The candidates or the actors that want to audition, they need to understand that we all open for helping, growing, advising and guiding, you know, potential talent. But I need that respect. You know, we work as industry professionals very hard to get ahead in life and to be given an opportunity. So when an opportunity like this comes, respect it, appreciate it, and then prepare for it.
Okay, no chances then.
But would you say that because they're auditioning for an international, you know, two American ladies, would they need to be able to do the American accent? Would they need, you know, to be able to do accents at all?
There's a lot of South Africans, which comes to my surprising, but I think it's the schools that our kids are going to where they can do a standard American accent. Like, most of the kids that we have on book that goes to, like, private schools, they can automatically come and do a South African accent, like a Capetonian accent if they have to, like, make it a little bit slang. And then they can, like, pull off a straight American accent without even sounding like they're trying. So if you perform in front of an international scout, your accent is important. Like, if you can't do an American accent, at least just speak a neutral English accent, which doesn't make you sound like you're from Pretoria, or like,
which
doesn't.
Is where I'm from, but
yeah,
you know,
but if you're Afrikaans from Pretoria, you know. So, we work with a lot of South African artists that Afrikaans is the first language. So when they have to perform scripts in English, they have to, like, prepare so much harder because they need to think about what they're going to say next.
Which is important for me. I wanted to ask, actually, like, language. I mean, we just spoke about it now. So basically, what you're saying is, if you don't, you can't bring something that's not in English. So you can't bring a monologue in Zulu, in Tswana, in Venda, or Afrikaans. It has to be in English.
It has to be in English because that's what our guests, you know, understand. That's the language that they speak. So, like, all the content you bring in needs to be understood in, like, an English language.
Okay, but now let's ask. If you do well and you succeed at this,
and you make it to the top.
Yeah, what happens then?
Yes, so after the moment that you've been called, now this is the final call, then well done, you knocked our socks. What's after?
Well, this is very exciting for us because there's so many projects that we have in line for 2017. We've got 16 LA films coming to shoot in South Africa. South Africa is really going to top the notch next year.
Get working on that American accent, Candy.
You know? My American accent.
Okay, give us an American accent. Come on, let's try.
From now on, talking in American.
Oh my god.
Say something in American.
I
say happy birthday.
I'm like I'm like trying. Like, let me just see. I'm like trying to think of
just
a show now.
And everything. Yeah. Like, Lyric. I am now talking in American.
Okay, that is not the accent.
That's still not the accent, right?
That is not. You
know, always, I'm surprised because I was in New York.
And you
for
New York
so long.
That is disgusting.
For like a week.
That accent is disgusting.
And it didn't happen. But I'm hoping that it will one day.
But all you have to do is really watch like 5 minutes of an American show to really start picking it up, you know, a lot quicker. I feel like with the South African accent and the Australian accent, for me, they become very interchangeable if someone's on camera. Because then I'm like, is that guy South African? And then it's like, no, he's Australian.
He's Australian, man. Yeah.
But you know,
sometimes the English.
For those candidates who are planning on auditioning, if you go onto YouTube, like the internet has really made it so easy for us. There's a lot of like videos where you can watch that actually like take you through a 4 hour, like going through specific words, like helping you roll the tongue to get specific sounds out. So there's a lot of tools, but that goes back to preparation.
Yes.
Like, you know, you have to go and do research. The biggest like phrase that I always use is research is key. Like knowledge is power. So if you want to come in and be successful, you at least need to know what you're getting yourself into. So research. I mean, if you have an if you want to go to America and work as an actor in Hollywood, you need to get a neutral accent.
So come an American neutral.
Yeah, like an American neutral. Southern accents in America is, I mean, you really have to listen to them to hear what they're saying, you know? So it's the same for Afrikaans speaking people. Like different places in South Africa, different provinces will have a different English accent just based on, you know, like how they speak. So the same in America. So you have to really just make sure that you do your research and preparation and practice, like the words, say it over and over. We spend 2 weeks in the States every year, July, meeting with producers and agents and managers, and you can't say dancing because they say dancing. So like when you come in saying dancing,
I'm gonna dance for you now
if I could just have some water.
They're like, what?
Some dancers. We don't have dancers from South Africa. We've got dancers from South Africa, you know. So it's just adjusting certain terms, which makes it understood for them. Like they don't do zebra, they do zebra. So it's a Z and not a Z. So when we say Z, like they actually look at your mouth to see what it's doing.
Oh my gosh.
And they can't say at all. That's 88.
And even certain, I mean, how important, I think sometimes like if your name is particularly South African, is that going to help you or hinder you sometimes?
You know, that always helps in terms of opening a level of communication. So after your audition, like it's always nice because the American, you know, industry professionals would say, just say your name again. And then, you know, I teach the artists to then explain to them what, like where the name comes from and what the meaning to it is. So it's always a nice like icebreaker.
Okay.
To like, we had one guy, his name was Bakanyisile Khumalo. So they said, can we just call you BK, you know? So by the end of the show, everyone remembered BK. So because of the way that he pronounced his name, he actually became memorable to agents. And now it's like, how's BK doing, you know? It's a nice icebreaker for like, you know, the interview that takes place after the audition.
And who are some of the guys who've made it in this sort of thing that we might recognize, whether they're from around the world or from South Africa, who have gone through this process
and become successful
from this particular type of thing like you do in the States and that sort of thing?
Okay, so there's actually a few. I'm going to start off with Gino Lee. He's from Port Elizabeth. Gino went with us to America. I found him when he was 15 years old. He managed to perform in New York City at the Bitter End. He was actually one of 3,000 candidates that auditioned to perform, and he got himself the opportunity to perform. After his education, he graduated at the New York Film Academy in New York City. He moved to Los Angeles, where he spent 2 years. He got signed to Discover Management, which was running his acting career for him as a management company. And then he was with Watersound Entertainment as well, where he actually managed to record. Gino came back now to South Africa and he released, we were on Expresso, we released his single. His track that he recorded in LA is now playing on South African radio.
Oh, wow.
So Gino's back in South Africa running his music through South Africa, and then he's going back to LA. He spent 3 years in America, you know, working as an actor. Before he came to South Africa, he did 2 American commercials as well as 1 commercial that went to Asia. And the most amazing thing is that he got paid in US dollars.
So it's nice.
So what we get in rands is what they get in US dollars.
Yes.
And then Ja Kompan is one of our agency's models. He went to study. He graduated on the 12th of September this year. He booked New York Fashion Week.
Okay.
And Ja is signed to True Model Management. And he's also doing an internship now in a modeling agency in New York City. So basically, like, those are 2 of our success stories that has gone through the entire process. And then in closing, we've got Anele Nkizela. I always...
Nikizela.
For those who need a translation.
Yes. She's from Port Elizabeth as well. She took 3 years to get herself to the United States. And then once she got to LA, she managed to work with a production company. And they've actually helped her now apply for her O-1 American visa. Hmm. So she studied as an actress. She's a fashion model as well. But her passion and like her like character lies within writing. So she's got a job now as a writer in a production company, waiting for her O-1 visa to come out, and then she'll be legal to work in the United States of America.
That sounds awesome. So where can
people get a hold of you?
Okay. Or get on the website for this.
The easiest is going to be if you Google just you model and artist management, you'll find our agency's website. And then on the website, there's a contact us section where they can find our office details. We're actually across the road from you, yeah, in the Planet Fitness Gym.
All right.
Yeah, so we're across the road.
I don't know if you want to be telling everybody that, because then they'll just be coming.
They'll just arrive. Well, it's fine. We're going on a Christmas party.
I think also the audition process that everyone is interested in, where can they get that information?
On the website, the Just You Model and Artist Management website, there's a section that says auditions. If you go onto the International Arts Talent Showcase auditions page, there's information about the auditions. You can email our Director of Admissions, Eloise Janssen van Rensburg, who's email address is on the website, and then we'll send a full constructive preparation email and documents to any potential artist that is interested in preparing for the auditions on the 28th of January.
All right, well, that's it from us. If you want to be a star, make sure that you go on the justforyou.co.za.
It's just-you.co.za.
Just-you.co.za.
Awesome.
We're out of here.
That was amazing.
We'll see you next week.
Awesome, GST.
Yes, babes, what do more? I'm loving this show.
Wololo.
Wololo.
Bye. CliffCentral.com.